This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast where we discuss young adult fiction and horror, thriller, mystery, sci-fi, murder, horror, scary,
spooky
teens. Today we're scary discussing teens. See You Later by Christopher Pike. I'm Lindsay Katak.
I'm Kelly Nugent.
And now we have been introduced by ourselves.
Thank you very much for the introduction.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Bit of a jumble tonight.
Mm-hmm. Listen, there were parking problems.
There was no parking, you guys. Mm-mm. There was none.
There was no parking.
It was upsetting.
If you want to peek behind the curtain, we're both upset.
It is 9 o'clock on a Wednesday.
It's 9 o'clock. It's hot. Very hot this week.
It's so hot. Mm-hmm. Unacceptably.
Unacceptably hot.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how we were talking about that thing where you're like, I'm feeling weird and anxious and depressed and I don't know why.
Oh, you mean life?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So this whole day, I'm like, man, like, I feel like my sternum is like balsa wood. Like, uh-huh. I just feel like it's like it's about to snap. Like, I'm like, I can't breathe all day. And I was like, it must be the heat. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered that my mom texted me this morning to tell me that the dog I grew up with was put down this morning.
No, Kelly. I know. Of course that's what's going on.
I was like, you fucking dummy.
Wow, you really suppressed that one.
Uh-huh. Because I saw it. I was like in the middle of a phone patch doing a VO job. And I was like, oh, I got to respond to that. And I put it down because the client was like on the phone with me. So I couldn't deal with it. And then everything was just like manic all day. And I was like, fuck, I like didn't deal with that thing. Yeah. I mean, she was so old.
How old was she?
We got her when I was 9.
Aww.
So that, I mean, I'll be 28.
She
was 6 months old when we got her. But so if I'm 28 right now,
that
she was 19.
Yeah.
That's old. Yeah. And the last time I saw her, which was this weekend, I was like, this is probably gonna be the last time I see this dog.
Yeah.
Cause it was just, I don't know, it was really sad. Like it was, like her legs were, she was like stuck and she was like tangled in her own legs. It was really sad.
I don't want to hear about it.
I know. It was so sad.
Talk about your feelings. I just don't want to hear about the state of your dog.
But yeah, so
I can't handle it.
I called my dad on the way over here and we talked a little bit. And then I called my mom. And this is just my mom being bad at technology. Mm-hmm. She drops out like 4 times on the call. Like the call just keeps getting dropped. And I text her and I just go, oh, you don't have service? And then she texts me 4 times. I do. I do. And I was like, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel worse for my parents just because they're pretty sad.
I cried for days when my dog died, my childhood dog.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how much it hurt.
I think that had this dog been cognizant of the world around her for the last like year and a half, because like for the last year and a half, she was blind and deaf.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was just not like.
Yeah. We put our dog. Well, my mom had to do it. But yeah, my mom put our dog down before that started to happen.
I'm much more of a mercy killing person, I guess.
Yeah. I think my mom, too.
Than my parents are, because my dad, I mean, I won't go into details, but like it was pretty bad and he like brought her this morning and got it done. But like I would have done that. I mean, she couldn't even walk in a straight line. She would just be standing there and just would fall over.
Mm.
So I was like, I would have, I don't know. What is that a good existence?
Yeah. My mom,
I think my mom did the right thing, but it also, it really fucked my mom up.
Yeah.
Because no, it's going to fuck you up. Herself, the mm-hmm. dog, Dixie.
Oh, she Dixie. That's herself. My aunt's name.
Oh.
Hi, Aunt Dixie.
Oh, hi, puppy Dixie.
Hi, puppy Dixie. Oh.
Yeah. My mom was really upset because Dixie was still Dixie.
Mm-hmm. See, Salsa was not Salsa.
Salsa.
Isn't that a good name? Salsa.
That's such a good dog name. Yeah.
Salsa. Aww. Salsa was not Salsa for probably like 2 years. So
I think
I would be, I probably am going to be very sad like later tonight.
Yeah.
But
you're realizing that you were not even aware that that's why you were upset.
I was so stupid. I was just sitting on my couch hyperventilating. Thing. And I was like, why am I hyperventilating? Ooh, it must be the
heat.
It must
be nothing.
I was like, oh, it's so hot out. I can't breathe. Yeah. And then I was like, oh my God, you dumb shit. Like, your dog died.
It's so easy to compartmentalize, though. I mean, it's involuntary. It's not like I'm saying to myself, this thing happened. It upset me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it in this little box. And I'll think about it later. It just goes in the box.
Oh, well, yeah.
You forget.
Because I got the text. And immediately had to go back to being like, where it's fast, fresh, and friendly. Because I was doing a fucking job. And it was for a commercial job where I had to be
for a
friendly.
Salad place, because that's what it sounds
for
like.
For Parker's, if you go to any of the Parker's in their convenience stores in the South, you will hear my voice in any of those convenience stores.
And now you'll know. That Kelly was thinking about her dead dog.
Yeah, try and figure out which ones I was thinking about my dead dog during. Because I did about half of them before knowing.
Oh, wow. This is a thing I've never considered with voiceover.
What's going on in someone's mind?
Yeah, what's going on for that person?
Did you watch that video that they released? That someone released? I forgot who it was. It's very funny.
I don't think so.
It's a woman getting texts from her mother while she's doing a voiceover job.
Really?
It's very, very, very funny. Because it's like a mix of like moms being bad at technology.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also just like
that's funny.
The annoyance. No offense to any directors that might be listening to this, but the annoyance of some voiceover directors that don't know what they want and you having to say the same fucking dumb line over and over again.
So it's all that at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. You should watch it.
It sounds funny.
I'll send
funny.
It to you.
I will.
And audience, please check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peek behind the curtain also with that.
That's such an interesting thought that people will be like, I've seen a commercial for a grocery or a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And while that woman was talking, dog was dying.
Yeah. Yep. I was definitely thinking about a dead dog when I was talking about, there's a part where I was talking about chicken. I was thinking about my dead dog.
Is there a part where you had to talk about salsa?
Oh my God. Nightmare. To our salsa bar.
Ooh. No. Why is the woman in the PA system crying?
I know.
Who knows?
Who knows? I don't pretend to know Hollywood.
Convenience.
But yeah, please do go to Parker's.
I'm glad that you do still endorse them.
I do endorse
them personally.
I've never been there.
Oh, okay.
Seems like a great place.
Oh, okay. Just
I
from
do,
the copy.
Yeah. Well, I do like they have like, you know how a lot of stores will have like in-store radio, so they'll play music and then they'll have like DJs come on that will do like casual ads.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, you know, like while you're here, check out blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So it's a very casual read and it's like I'm pretending to be a DJ. So I have to like pretend to be like, guys, how are you doing today? I hope you're doing well. Listen, while you're here, pick up some coffee. Like, so I was like, dead dog,
hey,
dead dog.
You've just heard Tell It to My Heart by Taylor Dane. Why don't you check out the Doritos?
Yep. Speaking of Taylor Dane, Great Danes. Great Danes like to eat biscuits. We've got a sale on cookies.
It wasn't even for dog food.
No, it's for cookies.
Human cookies. Oh boy.
Speaking of humans,
there are some in this book.
See you later. Man, I was jamming through this book.
Yeah, it's a quick one.
Yeah. I kind of liked it.
It's pretty action packed, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the book this week is See You Later. The logline or tagline? Tagline? Logline? Tagline. It's
for
a tagline because it's
tagline.
Like, it's a tagline because like for a movie. Okay, so the tagline for this is a story of love and hate beyond time. He fell in love with the right girl at the wrong time.
Mm.
It's a good one. It was one of my favorites when I was a teenager.
I could definitely see myself because I have not read See You Later.
Mm-hmm.
I could see like 13-year-old Kelly going apeshit for this book.
Yeah.
Like this book was my jam.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Because it involves time travel. Yeah, time travel, computer programming.
Nuclear war.
Mysterious people that are really rich.
Uh-huh. Unrequited love. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read the back?
Sure.
Do you want to read it off mine?
Oh, wow. Yours is long, long, long.
Well, it...
Because look at how long mine is. It's the bottom half. Because remember, I have the double.
Oh, my. Yeah. Just read yours.
Okay.
Yeah, mine is basically the entire book.
It's the entire book.
It's very long.
Fold out. It's an accordion fold out. Pages.
Yep.
For sure. Okay. Mark has fallen hard for Becky, even though she already has a boyfriend. He's close to giving up when the mysterious Kara arrives, determined to bring Mark and Becky together. But why does Kara care so much? And just how far will Mark go for the girl he loves? That's it.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read some highlights, man. Of a description of the book.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Mark has just graduated from high school. Like, already.
Well, I mean, we are already.
We've already found out more about Mark.
I feel like I've read 50 pages.
Okay. Mark has just graduated from high school and has just fallen in love for the first time. The girl's name is Becky. Unfortunately for Mark, Becky has a boyfriend. Mark tries his best, but is unable to win Becky for himself. Then Mark meets a young couple, Vincent and Kara. Both look extremely familiar to him, although he could swear he's never seen them before. They quickly become good friends. Kara does not want Mark to give up on Becky. This is so long. This is basically the book.
This is so long. This is the book.
Kara does not want Mark to give up on Becky. In fact, Kara is obsessed that Mark and Becky get together. Kara comes up with an elaborate scheme to break up Becky and her boyfriend. Mark thinks the scheme cruel. He tries to stop Kara. He doesn't succeed. Suddenly, Becky is a free woman, and Mark can't help but ask her out on a date. Then things start to get very strange.
This is so long.
But it is helpful.
No, it's so helpful.
An evil man appears out of nowhere. Somebody is kidnapped. Somebody is tortured. Kara knows what is happening, but she refuses to talk. She has good reason not to talk, for no one would believe the story she has to tell. But in the end, Mark does believe her, when all he loves appears to be lost and the world stands on the verge of destruction.
Wow.
I mean, that's
the book, man.
It's a short, it's a quick one. It's a quick read. In that, everything is so compacted, not that much happens. Mm-mm. And very quickly.
Because there aren't a ton of characters.
Mm-mm.
And there isn't a lot of time wasting.
Mm-mm.
Like, we are in it and he is... This book reminds me so much of Starlight Crystal.
Yeah.
Not only because the video game. And the video game that he designs is called Starlight Crystal.
That was so exciting.
Yes. I was like, oh, yay. Mm-hmm. The fate... Traveling time, like how you shouldn't mess with time too much.
And how you can't. Mm-mm. Period.
You can't.
So the basic gist of the book is that Mark is a video game designer. He goes in a record store. He meets the cashier, Becky, has a crush on her, keeps going back and visiting with her. They really get along. She has a boyfriend named Ray. Suddenly these people show up. And when the book says Kara becomes obsessed, it's basically the first thing she says to him.
Yeah.
That was
like,
the thing.
You got to get with her.
No, that was rushed. There really mm-hmm. should have been like a few weeks where they were just being friends with Mark mm-hmm. because Vincent and Kara, supposedly a couple, show up. Vincent says next to nothing. The only thing mm-hmm. he does with Mark is gets him to play a video game that he's designed called Decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about nuclear war. And the point is that you have to win and keep as few people from dying as you can. So the whole time Mark is being friends with Vincent and Kara, he's playing this game. He can't figure it out, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, every time he plays, everyone dies.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
He can't save. Well, not just the world is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the space station in the game is destroyed too. So like there's this point where Mark has at least figured it out to where the space station still exists.
Yeah.
And he considers that a victory. But Vincent's like, nope, not a victory. Keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that does imply there's a lot of time passing. Mm-hmm. But Kara is trying to break up Becky and Ray the first day she meets Mark.
Yeah. She's like, so
it makes no sense.
You need to get with this girl.
I mean, it doesn't just, I mean, obviously it makes no sense. Like Mark's like, why is this happening? But it's too fast for the mm-hmm. book.
It is. And I get that she is panicked because mm-hmm. she comes back. Because basically the situation is, should we reveal the twist now?
Yeah, may as well.
Okay, so the situation is that she is Becky. And that's something that I think you see coming because she's so obsessed.
I didn't see it coming when I was little.
I don't think I would have as a kid. Mm-hmm. As an adult, I did. Just because.
Interesting. I couldn't even put myself in the mindset of seeing it coming because it was such a surprise to me.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, she's Becky. Because Becky won't tell him her first name. That was like, I was like, okay.
That's true. That is a very big clue.
Yeah. And then
Becky
also
only
just
tells
like
people she loves her first name.
And
which is Kara.
Yeah. And just because I know Christopher Pike and I know that he likes time travel and he likes like fucking with fate.
That's true.
I was like, okay, this girl's obsessed and wants to make him be with this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
She probably loves him and she's the other girl. Good. And that was like my thought.
Good instinct.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that was right.
So basically she's Becky. Kara is Becky. She has
from
kind of, yeah, from the future. She's kind of disguised herself a little bit, but also there's like magic involved.
Well, not magic, but it's implied that even like all she had to do is disguise herself a little because nobody's mind would be like you can't fully comprehend that you're seeing an exact copy of a person you know. So your brain, I think, it's like, you know how a sentence will be jumbled and you'll still kind of read it as being straightforward?
Because your mind will make it make sense.
Yeah. It's so like, I think it's your mind makes it make sense.
When the Aztecs first saw Spanish ships coming in, they didn't know what ships were. And so they literally saw, because a lot of times we like look back on written accounts, I guess, of
I've heard this
that culture
before.
Where they refer to them as clouds, the sails, and it really is because it's like if you see something that you have no context for,
yeah,
you've
there's
never
no
seen it,
way to process it,
yeah, they were just like, oh, those are clouds,
mm-hmm.
and so I think, yeah, he was just like, these are people that kind of look familiar, but
yeah, but his brain can't focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's from something. What is that from? It's like you're looking right at something.
Oh my God, that does sound familiar. You just either don't see it.
You keep going to the periphery.
What is that?
What the fuck is that? Is it Doctor Who?
Is it?
No. No. Is it Buffy?
No.
No.
But it sounds like Doctor Who, though. It very much.
No, no, no. It is Doctor Who.
What is it?
It's motherfuck. It's an episode of Doctor Who. Maybe it'll come to us later. We'll keep talking about the book.
Okay.
But it's definitely an episode of Doctor Who where it's like your brain just has to veer.
Yeah.
It just can't see it.
Because you can't comprehend the thing.
Yeah.
It sounds very much like, I have not, to be fair,
I don't think
I haven't seen every single episode of Doctor Who.
I don't think it's The Silence. That's what it's called in that season, right? 11.
Oh my God, wait.
Is it The Silence?
Wait, season 11? Dr. 11.
The 11th Doctor.
I haven't seen any of that.
Really?
I don't think so.
Matt Smith?
No.
What?
I haven't seen that.
Which?
I stopped at after David Tennant.
I mean, I understand because he's the best doctor.
Yeah, it's a lot. But no, it was because, why did I stop? I think I just got busy.
Yeah, that's
fair. And then I was like, oh, I'll revisit that later.
There's just been so much Doctor Who since then.
There has
that's
been
why I'm surprised.
So much. Yeah. But I'm not a huge Doctor Who person. Like, I'm not like a person that knows all the trivia and stuff.
I got so into it, but yeah. I can't go back and watch classic Who.
It's just I haven't like, watched
it's
any.
It's too much, and it's so old, and the series is so different now that it's just a new. It's just its own thing.
Yeah. But yeah. So.
What is there? What is it?
I'm having
it's
like the inklings
an episode
of
Doctor Who. I feel very confident in that.
No, no, it is okay. When they're in fuck. It's it's when they're in some kind of library-ish place, right?
No,
it's not that thing.
The library one is the
What are those little things? And then
it's basically like deadly termites.
Yeah.
Like termites it's not that will one. Eat your whole body. No.
Okay.
Motherfuck. All right. We'll keep talking about the book. It'll probably come to us when we're not directly thinking about it, mm-hmm. much like the very thing we're talking about, mm-hmm. because you can't look at it directly.
Yeah.
Brain shifts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So. So she basically in the timeline in which Kara exists as the blonde Scottish woman, Becky has married Ray. Ray is very power hungry. He becomes president of the United States, basically launches full on nuclear war
mm-hmm.
against China, and everything gets fucked up and terrible and ruined. And he drags Kara.
The earth is scorched.
It's scorched. He drags Kara onto the space station.
About 100 people on this space station.
But because they're the only ones left on this space station, they're the only ones left and they're on this space station, they just slowly start running out of air.
Mm-hmm.
And she begins to die. They're all dying of like mm-hmm. asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees these like big ships. Globes of light
all that are descend ships. Onto the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But then the quote unquote ships take them and they're called the Illumni.
I kept reading as Illuminati.
Oh, really?
I kept reading
Alumni. And I was like, that's too close to the word alumni, Pike.
It's very close, very close.
Because it's Illumni.
Oh.
Illumni.
Ill. Sick.
Yeah, so sick.
So sick.
Sick, bro.
Sick, bro.
Plot device, bro.
Cool. But yeah, so then she is given the chance.
Take her, yeah. And they're like, supposedly the Illumni give all of them the chance to go back in the past and some point in their lives to try to change the future.
They're like, you get to try to fix this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our main character, Mark,
mm-hmm.
Has a heart condition.
Yes.
And the way his life ends up being is that he dies at 29 of a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
They freeze his body.
That's what Kara says.
Kara says they froze your body and they put it up north of the Arctic Circle. So you weren't affected by the
nuclear war.
So they sent her. She came across him.
They're like,
in a forest.
What do you want? And so she's been thinking about Mark all these years. And so they bring Mark to her. But Mark is now this very enlightened being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who Vincent is. Mm-hmm. Vincent is Mark.
But like chill as fuck.
But so chill.
So chill.
Like Buddha Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And a side note, did you know that in Buddhism, the whole enlightenment thing doesn't mean that you don't feel feelings. It just means that you are able to stay in the present. It doesn't mean that you like go off and you sit on a mountaintop and float.
Mm.
It just means that you like don't get caught up in samsara. You're not like caught up in your own reactive brain, which sounds very Scientology because Scientology borrowed from everything. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
But yeah, it's not even really what Vincent is.
No.
Vincent is like straight up not human. Like, right. He's way beyond.
Yeah.
Like,
elevated.
Yeah. He's like an angel or something.
Yeah, he's basically like an angel.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to Kara and Mark, Ray has also been offered this to fix things. So he's like, great. My thought is, I'm going to go. Well, he's like, well, fuck, like they're going to try and get together and not marry me. And if I don't, and Kara's not going to marry me. Mm-hmm. And if Kara doesn't marry me, or Becky doesn't marry me, then I'm not going to be president. But I need to be president so that I can just take out China from the top.
It's not even that. And so the Ray that comes back is calling himself Frederick, because that's his middle name.
Right. Everyone's using middle names.
Except for Kara, who's using her first name.
Mm-hmm.
Because Becky's her middle name. Twist. Mm-hmm. No, Frederick just comes back because he finds out what they're intending to do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck that. I'm going to fucking kill you, because if I can't have you, no one can.
It ends up being that, yeah.
No. That's his intent from the beginning.
No. I mean, Kara like tells him that it's because he wants to take out China. Kara tells Mark that. When she's like telling the whole story, she's like, he thinks that if he can take out China from the top, then...
True. But he doesn't need to take out Becky. No. He doesn't come back to take out Becky.
No. He wants to get rid of Kara. He's mad at Kara.
Yes. His wife of his present.
Yes. And I guess so. They're given 30 days to complete their mission. Mm-hmm. And then they just
cycle of the moon.
Yeah. And then they basically stop existing, and the new reality takes place after that period.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that, like, Kara and Becky, I liked that they couldn't survive what Kara had tried to do, because I saw Kara's journey and her decision as very, like, reflective of the game decision, where...
Yeah, you have to not play at all.
Yeah. Basically, the thing is, the only way to win is that you can't play at all. And not only is that representative of what Frederick as president should have done, which is, like, not do anything, but instead he's like... You know, when he was talking about his plan, he was like, oh, if I had taken out China at the top, maybe we wouldn't have had this war. But it's like, no, you still would have. And everyone still would have gotten destroyed.
Yeah.
So not only.
You just have to
not do anything. And that's the same for Kara.
I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. It is the same thing.
Yeah. And
but
so
just by trying to do something, you can't win the game.
Mm-hmm. By trying to change, I guess, fate too much.
I don't think it's change. I think it is specifically like battle.
Battle, yes.
Yeah.
Because she tries to kill... she sees him
first.
As China. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Ray is China.
Mm-hmm. And so she tries to take him out before he can do anything.
Well, the real plan is just to break him and Becky up.
Right.
Because she views herself, Kara views herself, Becky, as being so important to Ray's development that she's the only reason he really gets to the point where he has control of the nuclear weapons.
Yeah, she was like, without me, he never would have been president.
Yeah, so her only plan is just like, oh, I'll break up Becky and Ray, and then like, he'll never be president because I'm so great.
That was so funny. I was like,
that
really?
Is funny.
He might still be.
I think he'll still pursue his dreams,
he'll
maybe.
He'll still do it. And it's, so she sees him as China, and she, because so she starts... freaking out once she realizes like my plan's not working, because it turns out Frederick's here.
Mm-hmm.
He came back. She didn't know that. And she's like, fuck, he told Ray that like I had tried to break them up. And that's fucking up my plan. So I just need to take him out before he can even become Frederick.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to try to talk about the book a little more chronologically? Because I feel like we've talked about huge chunks, but not really how they fit together. So it starts with Mark going into this record store.
Yes.
And he meets Becky.
And he's like, I'm a game developer.
Like, they're cute and flirty.
Mm-hmm. She's like, would I have played one of your games?
And his game is called the Starlight Crystal, which is the name of another of mine and Kelly's favorite
books.
Christopher Pike books.
So that was a fun
which is
Easter egg.
Even more complicated.
Oh, God, it's so complicated.
It was a fun Easter egg. And then she buys the game so that the next time he comes in, she's been playing the game, which is really cute.
Yeah, I liked that.
Mm-hmm. They did genuinely have like a chemistry.
They did. She was like, she loved to like kind of razz him and
but talk to him. And yeah. She thinks he's really smart and cool.
Yeah. And she is interested in the things he's interested in. She she seems smart and cool.
Together.
Yep. And she's like, I don't eat chocolate. It gives me zits. But then she eats Rocky Road anyway.
She always eats chocolate with him.
Mm-hmm.
So then after a while, that's when Vincent and Kara show up.
Yeah.
Do they just show up in the record store?
Vincent shows up in the record store.
He meets, right. Kara's staying away because of Becky.
Yeah. And Vincent's like, I've been looking at this thing.
He's too cool for school.
Yeah. He's so cool. He's like, yeah, you're a good developer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
Becky's been telling me all
about it. He uses Becky.
I'd love it if you could help me out with my game.
Yep.
And that's when they go out back to their mansion in their Ferraris. They each have a Ferrari, which
one
is so
red,
goofy.
One black.
Why?
That's so stupid.
Why?
I did think that part was kind of lame. I was like, you guys don't need Ferraris.
Come yeah, on. They're like from the future trying to stop a nuclear war. And they're like, I also want to drive a Ferrari.
Because they do bring back bags and bags of gems. That's yep. how they've had their purchases, yeah. their bags of gems.
They're like basically on the gold standard.
Yeah.
Like, here are bars of gold. We will exchange this for Ferraris. Thank you. Our favorite president is Andrew Jackson.
What a diss to Frederick.
Indeed.
He's president later.
Frederick is definitely not their favorite president.
No, not. In their ranking of favorite presidents, he's pretty low.
So he's definitely president? I thought he was just a general.
You know what? I don't think he ever became president.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
He wanted to be president, but then he just was like...
Does he think without Becky...
That he could be president?
Yeah.
I think he thinks...
I guess I'm kind of fuzzy on what Frederick's plan is in coming back. I thought it was just that he's like, fuck you. If I can't have you, no money.
I think it turns into that. I think he originally goes back because he's like, she's going to try to break us up. And without her, I can't guarantee that I'm going to have control over the nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I need to take out China first.
Yeah.
Like, that was always something that he was like, if I could have, the one that got away.
Yeah.
But then I think it turns into him being like, crazed. I think everyone just ends up being crazed. Him and Kara.
Here it is. Yeah. So she's explaining to Mark. I won't read it because we don't want to jump ahead too much because that's what we're already doing. But so even though he was a general in his early 40s, he was far from satisfied. He wanted to be the most powerful man on earth. He wanted to be president of the United States.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Generals don't decide when to fire nuclear weapons.
I know. He's just a general? Like,
yeah,
what is he?
He's like the general, but the president is commander in chief. You don't get that decision. I mean,
maybe
I guess just
rogue.
As an advisor, he would be like, Mr. President, we need
to. We have
to
do it.
Yeah. Although, yeah, maybe his mission in coming back is to make sure he becomes president.
I think he wants to be president.
Probably he was arguing for a sooner strike and the president was like, I don't know, in his view. Obviously,
yeah.
The president should never have agreed to it.
No, never. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, Vincent and Kara show up.
They're chilling with
weirdos.
They're like, let's go to
weirdos.
They're like, do you want to like, let's eat ice cream all day. Let's go. Like, you play this game. Help me design it, but then also, like, don't really help me. I just want you to play it.
Well, it's like he just wants his feedback because Mark, as soon as he starts playing it, he's like, why do you need my help? These are the most amazing graphics I've ever seen. Nobody's computer on Earth yet has the capability to run this kind of program. It wouldn't be fast enough. There's not enough memory.
Mm.
Where did you get this computer? And Vincent's like, oh, I kind of tricked it out.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Except in his non-emotional robot way of like, I
yeah.
Nothing Vincent says is remotely interesting or human.
And he's like, I mean, you're not going to sell any of these because no one can play it.
He's like, that's not.
He's like, I don't.
My interest.
I'm not interested in
selling. I just want to know what you think of the game.
He's like, do you like the game?
Do you like it,
he's like, there's a secret. There's a secret in the game.
Can you figure out the secret?
And the whole time, Mark's like, I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know the secret.
And then in the background, Kara's just twirling around going, you should ask Becky out.
Yeah. Kara is eating ice. She's like sucking on some ice cream.
Mm-hmm, so much chocolate.
She's eating chocolate ice cream.
Now she's not worried about that.
No.
Just not how that works.
Nope. And then she's like, let's look at the moon through a telescope. Because she's obsessed with the moon.
Mm-hmm. I like the part, yeah, when Mark goes to look at the telescope and every time his and Vincent's head get too close to each other, they, like, Mark starts to get faint.
Mm-hmm. He attributes it to his sickness, his heart.
But really, it's just because he and Vincent are the same person, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you can't be too close. That's why Becky and Kara are never really that close.
Yep.
Together.
She's avoiding Becky so that Becky doesn't recognize her and flip out.
But yeah, so the whole time, Kara's got this plan. She's like, I'm going to break up Ray and
Becky.
She's like, Ray's not a good guy. I'll show
you. He's a dick. I can tell. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the bookstore he works at. I'm going to go down to that Barnes & Noble or that B. Dalton or that.
That Borders.
That Borders or that. What was the one with the W?
B. Dalton. God, I haven't thought of B. Dalton in so long.
Walden Books?
I don't know.
That sounds.
I only knew Barnes and Noble and Borders and B. Dalton. Crown Books.
Crown Books. Crown Books is like the. Yeah, I raised my fist like I was.
Wasn't Crown Books like discount books?
Yeah, Crown Books is still. There are a few of them. They are still discount books. I think it's Walden Books. I'm going to Google it. Yeah, he works in a bookstore. So Kara like goes there and hits on him and he asks her out because apparently he is a douche.
But also, I will say that each of these people feels a connection to each other because they're this, like, Mark feels connected to
Vincent and Kara.
To Vincent and Kara because he is Vincent and because he loves Kara and, or because he loves Becky. And I think, I mean, yeah, Ray is kind of gross and like he like lies and then. About having a girlfriend and then goes to hang out with her.
He calls Becky his cousin. Yep, Walden Books. And then I looked on the map. Weird, there aren't any near us because it went out of business. I knew it went out of business, but it was just funny that like,
can you
believe
it was
even like, where are the
any Walden Books?
Because in the Google search, in the Google search, what came up was Walden Books and then just below, Walden Books near me. I was like, there aren't going to be any. There aren't going to be any. B. Dalton bought Walden Books, and then Borders bought B. Dalton, and then Borders
folded.
Thanks, Amazon. Yep. No more Walden Books. I'm looking at all of the United States and Canada. But that was what was in my mall, right next to the movie theater.
B. Dalton was definitely there. We had a Borders and a Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble came later, though, because I think we had Borders first.
Yeah.
And I think there still is a Barnes & Noble at the mall near my parents. At the
Barnes
&
Noble
mall.
Is like the only bookstore chain that survived, as far as I know.
I remember it being like a little bit more ritzy, too.
Yeah. Borders was always smaller, and then it became a huge box store.
Yeah.
Just before that was not going to be a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I remember always going to Crown and being pissed off that I couldn't find the books that I wanted.
Yeah, because it's shitty.
Because it's shitty. They have garbage books.
Yep.
Oh my God, Crown Books.
I went to a Crown Books because there's this like Baroque down mall in
Eagle Rock?
Sherman Oaks? No, I love Eagle Rock.
You know that mall though?
I love that fucking Filipino mall.
With the Chuck E. Cheese?
Love that mall. It's my favorite mall.
I want to go
it's
in that
the
mall.
The only Target worth going to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's Target.
I love
it's
Eagle
like,
Rock.
Way less busy. I love Eagle Rock.
Guys, if you have to go to Planned Parenthood, go to the one in Eagle Rock.
Oh.
No shit. You will get, I called to renew my birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you want to come in right now? And I was like,
that's crazy.
No, I'll come in tomorrow. But I will warn you, I got, I was there. Usually when I go there, they're like, do you want a full screening? And I'm like, yeah sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, great. It's training day.
Oh, no, yeah. Not the phlebotomist.
Yeah, yeah. So then the girl comes in and she's like, okay, I'm going to use your left.
Jesus
I'll use your
Christ.
Right arm. And I was like, no. And then she's like trying to find, it's bruised. because she's like trying to find my vein. She cannot find it. I have pretty easy to find veins. She's like, is it here? And she's like asking the other girl. And the other girl's like, yep, do you see it? And she's like, okay. And then
oh my God, nightmare.
She sticks the needle in it.
No.
And then she's moving, she's angling the needle in different angles around while it's in me. And it hurts so bad. And it hurts so bad. And she's like, I'm not getting anything. And
is it because you're twirling around your needle inside my arm, maybe?
And I was like, you know what? I'm good. We don't have to do this. Because it hurts so bad. And she's like, well, maybe you can like drink a lot of water and then like in 20 minutes it'll be easier to come out.
You think this is my vein's fault?
I was like, girl, I don't want to. And I was supposed to get my Gardasil shot thing. And I was just like, I don't want to. I was like, I'll come back a different time.
Okay, so I'm showing Kelly my arm right now.
Yes, I'm seeing your arm.
So, you know, they usually go at the at the bending point of your elbow because that's where the clearest veins are. This bitch went here. This bitch went in my fucking forearm. And I was bruised, like, from my elbow.
Why would she go there?
Down to my wrist. I was like, what are you doing? And she said, well, I can see the vein there the best. I was like, I really don't think you should do that. And she was like, I know what I'm doing. And I fucking let her do it when I should have like smacked her and gotten, go and get a phlebotomist who isn't going to stick a needle in my fucking forearm like I'm getting an insulin shot.
Yes. Oh my God. Oh. It's such a mess.
Bad phlebotomist is so frightening to me.
It's such a nightmare.
They can really fuck you up.
Yes.
It's terrifying. Like, your veins are important.
Yes. And
That's not a joke.
While it was still on my arm, angle the needle at different angles. I was like,
no.
What? Like, I'm just.
No. I can't deal with it.
I was just like, I was like, you can stop.
Yeah. Jesus.
Ugh.
I went back for other doctor's appointments while my arm was still all fucked up. And I was like, look at what she did to me. And everybody I talked to was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Why would she put it there?
It shouldn't be there.
That's not where it belongs. I know that you can see a vein kind of, but that's just not what you do.
No. No.
There's too much meat. There's too much meat there.
It has to go too deep.
There are too many muscles.
Just do it right here because it's the closest to the skin.
Yeah.
It's where everybody does it.
It's like, it's right. It's like a tissue paper of skin where she decided she's going to go through like four walls of muscle. To get to a vein.
Well, I can see it.
Just because she's an idiot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but when they twirl it around in the vein.
It was a nightmare.
I've slapped nurses before when I had surgery when I was 13.
You slapped one?
I slapped a nurse.
Oh, no.
I don't remember doing it. That's how fucked up I was.
That's cool.
Yep. They were trying to change my IV again, I think.
Oh.
And it was hurting me, so I slapped a nurse.
Oh, you know what always makes me like a little is in TV shows when someone has an IV and they rip it out against the grain.
Oh, God.
No.
What?
I'm like, just pull it.
No!
Just pull it the other way.
I don't remember seeing anything.
It's whenever
like
someone,
that.
It happened in Buffy recently where Faith like sees. So it's usually when someone's like angry and they're like, and they rip it off, but they pull it against. I'm like, no, just the other.
Why would they do that? Have they never had an IV before? That's
like,
not
that's
what you would do.
Gonna like tear your hand
like,
and
just pull your eyeball out of your head. Why don't you? Jesus.
Such a nightmare.
Anyway, Great Mall and Eagle Rock.
Great Mall and Eagle Rock.
My marijuana dispensary is there.
In Eagle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I love Eagle Rock.
It's great. I want to live there.
I do too. I was like, I think that's a place for me.
Mm-hmm.
My place
didn't
for Kelly.
Wanna live that.
Far. It is far.
It's just like that extra 15, 20 minutes that makes getting into Hollywood annoying.
Yeah.
But I wanted to live there.
I want to live there really bad.
It's just a chiller place.
It has small town vibes, but it's not in a small town.
Mm-hmm. They're just like 10 minutes from everything.
Yeah. And it has like its own stuff there too.
Mm-hmm. Like this fantastic Filipino mall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And a Chuck E. Cheese.
Anyway, so. Bookstore. So yeah, Ray takes the bait.
Yeah. Goes out with
Mark. He's upset, but he's letting it happen because he does want to date Becky.
Mm-hmm.
Their date is so weird.
His date with Becky?
Yeah.
What do they do
on it? Mark's date with Becky. Well, they go out and they're having a good time. But then, oh yeah, Carrie like insists that he wears Vincent's nicer clothes and drive the Ferrari. Because right. she said he looks like his mother dresses him. Mm-hmm. And to trust her, if she, Kara, cares, Becky's going to care. Because mm-hmm. she knows how Becky would think.
Mm-hmm.
That was another big clue.
Yeah. And he's like, why would she be impressed by a Ferrari? And she's like, just trust me.
I know how Becky thinks. Which is...
She's like, if Becky... like
depressing to learn.
I know. I know. I was bummed by that. I was like, damn.
Oh, Becky didn't like his clothes? Come on, Becky.
I know. I kind of got mad. Jeez. I got mad at Becky for that.
Yeah.
And the car thing, too.
Pardon his khakis and button up.
I know. And she was like, you should never wear blue.
Yeah, remember it's not that? Your color.
It's not, you should always wear a red belt.
Did she say something about him being a winter?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so.
She definitely says that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the weird thing is when they're like, let's go look at the oil fields.
Oh. Okay. I totally forgot about that part because it was so
weird. They go up to a fucking oil well. And Mark's like, oh, I used to do this fun thing when I was a kid of jumping on the oil, on the
rig
pump of the
who does
fucking
that?
Oil well. And so they do it, and Becky's having a grand old time. She's like really into it.
She's loving it.
She's like just riding the edge. She's upset about Ray, so she's trying to live life to its fullest.
Yeah.
And then the second Mark says, don't get dizzy, she gets dizzy immediately.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm gonna die.
Mark throws a wrench into the oil well.
Like, destroys it.
He destroys an oil well.
Yes.
To save her. And then they leave.
And he also sees, and this is another example of like meddling in something makes things worse, because when he's talking to Kara about it, and he's also kind of having his own stream of consciousness thing happening, where he's like, it's because I meddled in this. Like, because I did something, she almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see Kara's state of mind, because she's like, yeah, but you probably saved her. So she thinks like you're going to fuck something up if you try to like mess with it too much, but you can save it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, it's him. That's a good point. It's like him knowing that he shouldn't have intervened
mm-hmm.
between Becky and Ray, but her thinking that Mark can fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mark/Vincent can save everything. Like, she really just, by the end of her life, Becky is like, Mark would have made all the difference in the mm-hmm. world. Like, she can't stop thinking about Mark. She can't stop thinking about what would have been. She misses him. She found out he died when he was 29.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, just put an extra halo of like sainthood mm-hmm. around him, which is probably why Vincent, because like Kara conjured Mark as Vincent out of her brain, essentially.
Yeah.
I
think also
that's really interesting to make that parallel.
I think it also like reflects people's tendencies to like her fixation with Mark can fix everything.
Yep.
It's like one of those things where like people tend to like assign so much importance to like a singular event or a person. Because mm-hmm. like, yeah, her life got really fucked up. She dies of asphyxiation in a space station after the world is like in flames.
Like, you think of the one who got away, but really like, yeah, you could have had a good relationship with that person, but you wouldn't have stopped being yourself with that person. You still would have had all your issues. They'd have their own issues. It's mm-hmm. not like that would have been like, click, soulmates.
Right.
Like, you're still going to be your dumb self.
And I think she also came to realize, and a thing that I liked about this book was that, like, it's not just black and white. It's not like there's just hate between Frederick and Becky. And Frederick and Kara. And that, like, Ray, like, there isn't just this thing where it's like, oh, Ray and Becky just didn't love each other at all. Because then we learn that there is love between them.
Mm-hmm. They did truly love each other. So after the date, that's when they find out that Frederick came back too. Oh, because Frederick told Ray.
Yes.
Who Kara was, sort of, or that, like, Kara had tricked him.
Mm-hmm.
And now Mark was dating Becky. And, like, gave Ray a gun.
Yeah.
And so that's how Kara finds out Frederick came back with them or after them. And then Frederick kidnaps Vincent.
Yeah.
That's when Kara has to tell Mark everything.
Well, they find out that he's kidnapped Vincent because...
Yeah, there's a heart.
Yeah. Kara's like... So first she's like, wait, someone told Ray? And she's like, I fucking know who told Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time Mark's like, who? And she's like, you're not, you're going to see.
What the fuck is going on?
She's like, let's go home. We have to find Vincent because Vincent's in trouble.
He's like, you've been weird this whole time. I've known you. What is this?
What is? He's like, you have to tell me. She's like, 1 second. They go home and she's like,
hang on. Hold the phone.
Holy fuck. And there is a heart on the counter. And it's stabbed with
a knife in a heart. And it's so that you think it's Vincent, but really it's just like he went to the local butcher.
Yeah, because they were like,
to intimidate them.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
They're like, oh, this is... What it was is it was like cliffhanger to the chapter.
Yeah, there's a
the
heart.
Next chapter, it was like, we realized that that wasn't what it was.
Yeah, and he's like, and it wasn't really human blood because I have some blood on myself because I got punched in the face and it didn't look the same.
I didn't remember that
Yeah, part. He's like, it wasn't human blood. And I was like, wait, so like he just like bought some pig's blood and a heart?
Yeah, he went full carry.
Yeah. Cool.
We're full mean girls in Carrie.
Yeah.
So that's when Kara has to tell Mark everything. So this is, I'm going to look in the book a little bit now because I was kind of speeding through this part, I guess. Just because, not because I wanted to get it over with, but because I was so excited to get to this part where Kara explains that they're from the future. But then it wasn't nearly as satisfying as I remembered it being.
Yeah, there are still some kind of holes.
It doesn't make... Everything happens way too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Their ages don't really make sense.
No, and I think there was a lot of explaining away. Because, like, she was like, how old do you think I am? And he's like, I don't know, like 20. And she's like, okay.
She's like, I decided to come back as this age.
Yeah.
You can't tell how old I am when she's like... In her 40s or 50s.
I guess so,
but that's still like, that's not old enough for him to be a general.
Yeah, I know. I was like, they have to be like 65 at least.
Oh, here it is. The heart thing. It was old. It smelled of formaldehyde. It could have been stolen from a medical school supply room. Blood was fresh. Didn't have the consistency of human blood.
Right. Because he's like, it's on me.
I had a fair amount of the latter available on my shirt with which to make a comparison. That's funny. Oh yeah, this is a weird... Kara's always talking about Vincent in this weird way. Vincent's not like that. He trusts in the moment. That's how he's enlightened. He knows everything's going to be fine, and even if he isn't, he doesn't mind. She paused, a brief spasm of grief causing her right cheek to twitch. But I shouldn't talk about the differences between you two. And then that's where it's like, Mark is Vincent and Vincent is Mark.
And she's like, okay, so she's like, now that you know everything, you need to act quick because he has Vincent. And Vincent does not have a long time to live if we know what we know about Frederick / Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he's cuckoo. He's going to like kill Vincent. And she's like, so what you're going to do is, she's like, remember when you were feeling like really weird when your head was right next to Vincent's head? And he's like, oh my god, yes. And she's like, okay, that wasn't a heart thing, you guys are the same person, and now just like beam yourself into Vincent's head. And he's like, cool. And he does it, and he's being tortured by Frederick, who's like, where is your double?
Because
he wants to take him out, basically nip it in the bud. And he's like, I guess brave, because it's not his body, it's like another person's body problem. So he's like, you're not good in bed, you're
also this. He can just sort of like feel Vincent with him a little bit.
So he feels
safe.
He knows
Vincent is going to be like ready to let go.
Yeah.
He knows that Frederick's going to kill Vincent no matter what. So he gets it a few jabs.
Mm-hmm. And then he gets his throat slit.
Yeah. But in his death, he also experiences what his life would have been.
Yeah.
Without Vincent and Kara, because that was Vincent's life.
Yeah.
Of the, like, yeah. Never meeting them. But in his, so interesting. In his previous life, when Vincent was Mark, and there was no Vincent and Kara.
Right.
He dreamt about Vincent and Kara.
That was interesting.
And wrote it all as a story. Mm-hmm. This is so Christopher Pike.
I know.
It's so Christopher Pike because it's all Starlight Crystal mm-hmm. and this and that and way less vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So then he writes this story about having these two friends. And then on the night he's going to die, even though this Mark doesn't know he's going to die, he burns the manuscript.
Yeah.
And then he just like dies in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
So then our Mark knows what his life was.
Yeah. Because he basically absorbs the memories of Vincent.
And or Vincent like shows
him or something.
Yeah.
And I think that also the fact that like had he never met Vincent and Kara,
mm-hmm.
that he wrote still, it in the book and dreamt about them, I think is like Christopher Pike kind of saying like, you know, you can only change things so much, like that he was always going to either dream about these people or like the timelines are so intertwined that like they bleed.
It's like this was always going to happen even though it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
And he even admits, which I think is him kind of saying.
It's like, he's like, I can't explain
confusing
this.
And timelines are fucked up.
But here's what I think it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. After everything's done and finished with, Mark is like, so Kara's story had some holes.
Yeah. He's like, I get it. You guys are confused. Me too. Let's not worry.
I guess we can't explain it ever. Which is fair for a time travel.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Supernatural death and enlightened being story.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought that, so as we keep going on, in chronologically in the story,
mm-hmm.
when he's like, basically after, Victor is killed by, or Vincent, I'm sorry.
I was like, who's Victor?
Okay. After Vincent is killed by Frederick, Kara's like freaking out. She's like, we gotta get rid of him at the nub. She's like, we got to get rid of him.
We got to get to that nub.
Yeah, she's like, we got to get to it.
We got
to
burn that nub.
Yeah, we got to burn that nub. So she's like, we got to go and kill
Ray.
And
yeah,
he's
so
like,
she's
whoa.
Like, murder.
Yeah.
But he's all lightheaded from his.
Yeah, he's like, wait, I'm still kind of Vincent-y.
Into Vincent's brain. Yeah, yeah, I'm all Vincented out.
Yeah, he's like, I can't. And she's like, okay, bye. And so she leaves. She's like, I'm going to take
fuck
care
out
of this.
There. Yeah.
And so he's like, fuck, okay, I got to go get Becky because Becky's going to, if I can know where Vincent
was. Yeah.
I can use Becky to get into Kara's mind and figure out how she's going to try to fucking kill
Ray. How Kara thinks.
And so he tells Becky everything and she's like, and he's like, just trust
me. She doesn't tell her.
Oh, right. He's like, just trust me.
Yeah. He's like, look, Ray is in danger. You mm-hmm. can be mad at me some more tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's because Ray tells Becky.
Right. She's like, I don't
what
trust
happened.
You.
Yeah. So she's mad at Mark. Oh, yeah. When they're driving there, he's like, Kara's going to kill Ray. So you have to tell me how you would kill Ray.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then he says something like, don't you think it's interesting that her name is Kara?
That's how he tells her who she
is. And he's like, what's your first name? And she says, Kara. And he says, but you only tell that to people who you really love.
And she's like,
how
damn.
Did you know that? And then, but then she says, oh, I whispered that to you when you were sleeping last night.
Yeah.
So she did tell Mark her name was Kara.
Yeah. But then also so Ray knew her name was Kara.
Nope. Nope, he
Ray
didn't.
Ray
didn't know. She never told Ray her first name.
But she dies for him.
Yeah. People are complicated.
People are complicated.
Yeah. So Kara, no. So Becky is like, oh, well, I would do it this way because I thought about doing it after I found out he went out with Kara.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I would hit him with a car.
Yeah. I'd hit him with my car when he's leaving the bookstore.
And of course, he parks so fucking far away from where the entrance is.
Yep.
So it's like so long that he's walking in the parking lot. And sure enough, careening around the corner, Kara.
In her Ferrari.
She's pedal to the metal.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to run him over. And
before Becky even thinks about it, she jumps in front of the car to save him.
She stops it. And oh,
and
right. The guard.
Her.
The guard comes out. Ugh,
but
God, it's so complicated.
After Ray has shot Kara.
Yes.
For hitting Becky.
Yes. He's
then
pissed.
Becky and Kara are dying.
Yeah.
Becky's done for. But yeah, that the mall security guard who's like high on cocaine.
Yeah.
Comes out. Sees and then Mark is like, oh, this is Becky's twin Kara.
Yeah.
And they're like, right. Oh yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, I guess they look alike.
So then Ray takes Becky to the hospital. Yeah, and Mark takes Kara to the cave, hoping that being in the cave is going to prevent her from dying because he thinks it's not subject to the laws of physics.
He's like, it'll be fine. We'll just take you into the cave.
Yeah, because when she was like, oh, we came back, we just came back through this cave.
And also, it's because I remember reading something and I was a little bit confused by it, where it's like, if they're in the cave, they don't like cease to exist. But like, if the second they step out, they cease to exist. That's like how they say goodbye, I think. Or was it just
the cave has no effect at all? He just thought it might. Really, when Kara's dying, she just wanted to see the moon.
That's right. So he takes Kara there.
Try to tell Mark something about the universe or human nature or something.
Well,
nothing's real. We're all beings of love.
So they did show us something in that, or he learned something about human nature in that when so Frederick's there and he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you guys. And she's like, think again, like, let's talk about what we used to be.
No, Mark says that.
Mark says, you guys talk about how you used to be.
Mark convinces them to go into Ray
their
and selves. Becky's minds.
And
to be, because he's like, Becky was willing to die for Ray. Ray was willing to kill for Becky.
Yeah.
Go into their minds. You clearly loved each other at one point.
And they do that. And it
Becky's
is sad.
Becky's dying. She's floating. Yeah. So Kara, when she goes back, she's just floating above Becky's body. Mm-hmm. And she can see Ray grieving.
Yeah. And Ray's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frederick. And then I think him seeing that happen and seeing her death does change him in a way.
Yeah. Ray and Frederick.
And understanding, too. Because I think that when Frederick goes into Ray, he does impart some of that understanding that he's experiencing as well into Ray. I think that there is some learning on both ends.
I interpreted it as Ray was just changed by Becky's death.
Becky's death.
But Frederick was changed by being in his old self.
And remembering what
who
it felt like to
Becky
love her.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so then he comes back and he's like,
Frederick just lets go.
Yeah. And he is just like, goodbye. And walks out of the cave.
Yeah.
And he zoop, disappears.
Yeah. And then, the end of the 30 days is up.
Mm-hmm. And Kara dies.
Kara dies, but she has.
Excuse me, I'm yawning. It's
so late, you guys.
It's late.
But she has Mark take her out to look at the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The moon is me. You're the moon. We're all the moon.
Mm-hmm. She's like, the reason I've been so obsessed with the moon is that it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she.
I'll try to find that part.
Like open right to
it. No, not quite. I've opened on Mark's speculation about what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this? Is that you making that sound or my tum?
I thought it was maybe my tum.
Oh, it was our tums together.
Maybe they're in perfect
in harmony.
I thought my tum was going like,
So blah, blah, blah. He's saying, can't I take you to the hospital? I am at the hospital. I'm floating in the same way. The moon floats in the sky. I don't understand. It doesn't matter, she said. It's not your time yet. That won't be for a long time. I love you, Mark. In the years to come, you must never forget that. Don't be sad and you'll live forever. Kara kissed me gently on the lips. She hugged me tight. I love you more than the sun and the moon put together. Even with my lousy clothes, she smiled. Look at the moon and close your eyes, Mark. Don't let go of me. I turned my gaze. The moon was so bright. Even when I shut my eyes, I could still see an impression of it in my mind. An impression that went deep, like the last thought at the time of death. It grew in both size and brilliance, and I focused on it. Soon it was as bright as the real moon outside my body, brighter even, and I almost forgot the real one for a moment. But then I opened my eyes and lowered my head, and I was standing alone on the outside, and Kara was gone.
That's sad.
Yeah. And then 10 years have gone by since that night. A lot has changed.
He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Record screech.
I think this happened.
Yeah.
Maybe like, it was this.
He's like, I've had some time to think. And so it didn't all make sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's just him going, I think it was this.
Oh, right. Because remember, then he's like, I think that she actually had died, that Kara had died in the space station and had run into Vincent in heaven.
Yeah.
Because like he's like, what the fuck? Who runs into someone in a beautiful forest? He's like, that sounds like heaven.
So he's like,
and he thinks the Illumni
Illumni
are like them, yeah, their souls from like a very distant future.
Kara talked about superior beings from another planet. I could just see how she thought that. She was in outer space when bright light suddenly swept in and rescued everybody. But from that point on, her story was filled with one inconsistency and coincidence after another. I don't think she even realized it.
I think
supposedly
that,
had no bodies, but they needed spaceships to get around. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think him thinking that it's them from the distant future makes more sense, because it just makes more sense that like there would be an investment in yourself and like in improvement than like these alien beings coming and being like, you get a second chance.
Yeah.
I thought his explanation made more sense. And maybe he had written the whole book and he was like, fuck, that doesn't make sense.
He's like, what?
And he's like, what did I just write?
What?
And then he's like, oh, I'll just add an, like a thing at the end where I say, 10 years later, I thought it was this.
I mean, it is true that she's insane. She's like, you were frozen.
Yeah. Like, and then I saw you.
I froze you. The LM, I found you. Yeah, I think Kara was wrong. I think the popsicle mark form theory was given to her, which is funny. Good,
yeah.
Good one, mark
that's
form.
Funny. That's funny.
Was I the only one who was thought out? How exactly did the alumni bring me back to life? They weren't God. They were just supposed to be friendly aliens. But he thinks that, yeah, he thinks that they just like,
did you hear that?
It was like, I thought it was mine again. So he's like, I think they just went into the proverbial light.
Yeah. And I think he's kind of sticking to his idea that the light is, or those like orbs are like at least their essence or something. Because he doesn't know. So he's like on the brink of like maybe dying at the end of the book. And he's.
Oh, here's a part I wasn't even thinking about this when I read it. This is interesting. Okay. Mm. So he's talking about when he was in Vincent's body,
mm-hmm,
and Frederick slit his throat.
Mm-hmm.
He says, then I reviewed my entire life, even the end of it, while I simultaneously experienced the end of Vincent's life. Excuse me. It was the most horrible thing to go through, yet it eventually brought me to a place of wonderful joy. In the end, before Kara called me back, I went into a bright light. I was the bright light. There was no difference. There was only one.
Okay.
Then I saw the space station. Yes, it's true I responded to Kara when she called to me. The question is, to which Kara did I respond? The one waiting by my side in the cave, or the one dying aboard the space station?
So they are the beams. They are the lights.
He thinks
that each of
that he brought that Vincent with him, mm-hmm, in his death to Kara, mm-hmm, and then they came back
and it's
together
all just like this feedback
because
loop.
She was dying. Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's like when you die you are everyone,
and when and that Vincent too is so enlightened because he experienced his own death,
he was the
and
death.
The death, yeah, yeah, it's so it's just like this,
he was Mark in death,
mm-hmm,
and Mark's knowledge of the existence of Kara and Vincent brought Mark in his death to Kara aboard, mm-hmm, the space station, mm-hmm, which is where Vincent was created for Kara. And, mm-hmm, so Kara then came back in time with, mm-hmm, that dead Vincent.
Yeah.
The dead Mark named Vincent.
And so he now is on the brink of dying. Of his heart condition.
Yeah, he's writing all this.
And he says, I know I will see a light when the dawn finally comes. The cool white light of the moon, shining forever in a star universe that goes on forever. Or the warm light of the sun, burning brilliantly in a sky all its own. A sky that lasts only a day. I know I will either live or die. I wish I could say which it will be. And I think it might be one of those things that like school of thought, and I might just sound really ignorant right now, that school of thought where it's like you're always living, like it's just like everything is always happening always, so it's like he's always dying or living or like being Vincent or being himself always, and it's just like everything,
yeah, time
overlaps.
Is all things are happening at once,
yeah,
it's not linear.
So I think he's kind of saying like, I'm gonna do one of these, and I think him saying like, I'm not gonna make a decision at this point, I'm just gonna, I wish I knew it what it was, but I'm just gonna let it happen, is him hopefully in an evolved state dealing with this rather, yeah, than doing what Kara would have done.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm going to fucking change it.
It's a lot to take in. Oh, we forgot to mention the fact that Mark finally figures out how to win at decision, which is to exit the game and not play.
Yep. Don't play.
And
don't do anything.
And then the game goes, you won.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And then Mark, after all this happens, Mark goes on to create Decision.
Makes
everybody's
so much money.
Computers are, you know, have caught up with mm-hmm. it and can run the game,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because I think by the time this was the case, there were probably just gaming consoles instead of computers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But everybody plays and it's like taught to kids as like the dangers of
that's
nuclear
right.
warfare.
That's right. Kids are required to
so
play
I think
this
that's
game.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so he kind of makes a small fortune from that.
Yeah.
I guess it's not a small fortune. It's just a fortune.
I think he buys that house.
He does.
With the cave. Yeah.
He wants that house with the cave.
Because he misses. Out there and he looks at the moon.
What a lonely.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
It's my throat because I had water.
You had water. I think that's so lonely to.
It's incredibly sad. Make a friend, Mark.
Yeah.
Just I mean, make he a lives, damn friend.
He lives alone.
Nobody told you you had to be alone forever.
He lives alone and he like to know that you that you felt this closeness with someone and it turns out it was just you.
Just
it was
like,
just you and then this girl that ends up dying.
Ugh. Go make a friend.
Yeah, he needs
go
to
make
go
make a friend 10 years by yourself. Nobody people don't do that. Yeah. Nobody does that.
Who do you think you are, Mark?
Come on. Go to a coffee shop, strike up a conversation.
Go like
I'm
join
not
some kind of social
thing
club
in the world.
Sign up for an improv class.
Yeah. That's where I meet all my friends.
That's where I meet all my friends.
Although we do talk a lot about how we don't have real friends.
Don't have friends.
But we have acquaintances. We he have could have an acquaintance.
Look, he could have someone that he like Facebook chats sometimes.
But he never asks anyone out again.
Never.
Does
Come
he not
want
to have sex?
No, remember,
every
he
now
does
and then?
Have sex sometimes. Remember? He
oh,
dates
does he
around.
Say that?
Yeah, he's like, I dated some and like I slept with them, but like no one was as wonderful
Nothing
as Kara.
Compared to you.
So sad
it's
life for him.
Been 7 hours.
Oh, into that water
Since
bottle.
Since future Kara killed herself in the past.
Killed herself in the past.
That's my horrible version of Nothing Compares to You. What do you think, guys? I'm still workshopping.
You know what? Try it out at some coffee shops. Go to some open mics.
Thank you.
Sing it out.
Mm-hmm. Make a See, friend.
Make some friends. Maybe you'll meet Mark.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, I've been living alone for 10 years. I'm about to die.
Like, yeah, I'll fuck your ass, but
I'll fuck you, but I won't
I'm
be your
not
friend.
Interested in anything else. One night stands for this guy.
Mm-hmm. Nothing compares to Becky Kara.
Mm-hmm.
Kara Becky.
Kara Becky.
Aw.
Kara Becky.
Kara Becky.
Yeah, I still. So the explanation of the future and nuclear war didn't really make a lot of sense.
No.
Terminator version makes more sense than this.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like the computers just became sentient.
Singularity.
Sentient.
Sentient. I mm-hmm. felt like this book, because also this was very
it's just
rushed.
So simplistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I get it.
This book, because it felt so rushed, and also because it rang so similarly to Starlight Crystal, mm-hmm. I feel like is similar to the relationship between Give Me a Kiss and what was the redo of that book? Fall into Darkness.
Yes. yeah, I think he keeps...
Because they're different
enough. I mean, honestly,
enough,
I think
but...
Christopher Pike, as we all do, just keeps perfecting...
Good for him.
...the same, you know, ideas that yeah. he has in his mind. So,
I mean, he's
yeah.
got bills to pay, so he's going to churn those books out.
Sure. But also, like, everybody is obsessed with their own certain themes. Like, Joss Whedon is obsessed with the idea of a family that you create, mm-hmm. not that you're born into,
mm-hmm.
and, like, what your obligations are and the price of, you know, being, like, putting yourself on the line and trying to mm-hmm. save everybody, be a savior.
The heaviness of being a savior.
The weight of the world.
Yeah.
The whole weight of the world.
The weight of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And fate versus like trying to fight that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, Christopher Pike certainly has themes that he's pretty obsessed with.
Yeah, he's obsessed with dying angels.
Dying angels, like very sickly, beautiful angels.
Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with.
Also fate, like trying to fight fate.
Stories about. the things that just happen? Or them all being the story? Everything you just read is just a story that somebody was writing.
Yeah. And also, like, things that people encounter, like media that people encounter in the books, like, reflects things that are happening in the book, mm-hmm. like, 8 different ways.
Spirituality and enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely very, really likes thinking about enlightenment and what that means. Thinks that we're all one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That, like, at the core, we're all one.
I bet he's Buddhist.
I could see that.
Krishna figures heavily into The Last Vampire.
Really?
It's a full-on character, man.
Cool, cool. What's our next book in this?
Witch.
W-I-T-C-H. Not witch?
Witch, is it?
And it's a person, it's the art is a person holding 2 sandwiches.
Yeah.
Witch?
Witch.
I am not a huge fan of Witch.
I don't know that I've ever been.
Sandwich place? It's okay.
Maybe.
It's fine.
I don't know.
Try it. Figure out for yourself whether you like that place.
You know what I'm all about?
What?
All about the bread.
I heard that place is good.
It's so good. I heard
their bread's good.
The bread is so good.
Yeah.
It's aptly named. Yeah.
I want to try that place. Cool.
For everybody outside of LA, it is a sandwich shop called All About the Bread.
Welcome to All About the Bread.
The podcast where we discuss all things young adult bread.
Young adult bread. Cool.
Yeah.
So I think
we see you later.
Yeah. I liked this book, but it made me miss Starlight Crystal. I want to read Starlight Crystal.
I really, really loved this book when I was a teenager.
I could see that.
But it didn't quite hold up in my adult self. Just because the future stuff was so rushed. Mm-hmm. Everything was just rushed.
Yeah.
I just want a longer book, I guess.
Yeah.
I like a longer book.
I like a longer book too.
More,
I like just more time to just kind of
character
rest in
character development. Yeah. I wanted to rest in him getting to know Vincent and Kara before the whole breakup, Becky and Ray, became a thing.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I wanted more time where it was just Mark and Becky.
Mark and Becky,
after they got broken up.
Yeah.
I wanted more time in the future. I would have liked to go to the future. I would have loved just a whole passage of Kara's last days on the space station.
Yeah.
And then a whole passage of being reunited with Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit more about Frederick and Kara.
Yeah. I would have loved, I was just imagining like just a chapter. If this had been, like if we were going back and forth, how he sometimes likes to do,
mm-hmm.
With like her last days on the space station to him now.
Yeah, once we find out about everything, mm-hmm. if it would just jump forward to that space station, that would have been so cool.
Mm-hmm. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Well.
So basically, my only criticism is that I want more Christopher Pike.
Yeah. I mean, what a lovely criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please, we just want more of you.
Just more.
Cool. I'm excited to read Witch. It's not this Witch World? Is this just?
No, it's different.
Oh. Do you like Witch? Do you remember it?
I don't remember it that well. I've already started reading it. I do remember liking it. It's not one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Is it about witches?
It is about witches.
Witch.
All right, cool. Theoretically, my boyfriend, Mike Carlson, will be on the Witch episode.
Yeah, we'll see if he decides he wants to read the whole thing.
If he can handle finishing the book.
Cool.
I mean, I have to read it first, and then he just might not
get to it. Oh, that's why you got started so quick.
Well, also, like, we were supposed to record on
Monday
forever ago.
Yeah, forever ago. We kept pushing it.
Yeah.
But we had to watch the debate.
I know.
So that we could be...
What a doozy, huh?
What a doozy.
My goodness.
My goodness.
Wow, what a mess.
A real mess. Big time.
I mean, I know that anybody who supports Trump is going to view that as a win for him. Although a lot of people didn't. I mean, it didn't change their vote, but Trump supporters were like, ooh, he bungled that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, for shitty ways, because they're like, why wasn't he attacking her more?
Okay. Yeah, I could
see
that.
But everybody, a lot of them do see it as like, oh, he was the weaker one. She kind of trounced him, which she did.
She did.
Ran circles around
that. Yeah, it was, I mean, it certainly didn't change my mind. If anything,
she did better even than I was expecting. I knew he was going to be a mess. I knew that she was going to come out better, but she handled herself so well.
She was so like just Yeah. She was really good at diffusing him.
Yeah.
And with like aplomb. Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aplomb, I think.
I think aplomb.
Anyway, Trump sucks.
Anyway, so yeah, debate. So that's why we're recording tonight. At a much later time than we're used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's only 10:30 now, which is when we thought we'd be ending.
And here we are.
At the end.
At the end. Cool. I'm excited to read Witch.
Yeah.
I'm excited for more supernaturally type stuff. I like that kind of stuff.
And then after that is Whisper of Death, which is sort of a melding of supernatural and the old, all these friends.
These friends have a secret
and they have to figure it out. Somebody died.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's a good one.
Cool.
Memory serves. And we probably have a guest for that one too.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Subscribe, rate.
Yes, please.
Follow
us on Twitter, on Facebook, Teen Creeps Pod.
Mm-hmm. Teen Creeps Pod at Gmail, on Twitter, on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to be bringing in
people mixing it up
with, people are going to be allowed to bring in their own favorite young adult books. And we'll talk about those, break up the Pike-ness. then we'll go back to Pike. And if people don't have a book they want to bring in, we're assigning them a Pike book.
They got to do it.
My boyfriend and Michael Capristo.
Cool. All right. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Keep it real. See you later.
Stay cool. Catch up with you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.